This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you
good? The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. Whether it is on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, the fan, or youtube.com/1080AM, the fan. Thanks for partying along with us. We bring on now a woman who hearts your heart. You see her on the sidelines, every Trailblazers basketball game on K2. Brooke Olsendam joining us. Hi, Brooke.
Hello, my friends. How are you guys?
Great. How's Brooklyn treating you?
Well, you know what, Dusty? Insider info. We are not staying in Brooklyn. We're staying in Manhattan. So I have not yet been to Brooklyn. Oh. But whenever I do get there tonight, I'm sure it'll treat me right.
How's Manhattan treating you, Brooke?
There you go. It's treating me well. Well, actually, I had a fumble at the beginning of this road trip, which I never do. But I put up like some of my suits and I hung them up in my closet, figuring out what I was going to wear, kind of like trying to figure it out the whole week. And I left a bunch of them in my closet in Utah. So, yes. So unfortunately, I had to do a little shopping today, but not a bad place to have to do some shopping, Manhattan. So I was extremely successful.
How does this happen? How do you retrieve those outfits, though? Or does the city of Utah or the city of Salt Lake just own those now?
That's a good question. John, our guy that runs our travel, I've actually known him for decades. He was Indiana Pacers as well, so I've known him for a long time. And so I had my tail between my legs, and I texted him. I was like, John, how you doing? Well, of course I'm calling for it. Yeah, I did something. But, you know, you still have to start off with, like, how's it going? What's new in your life? Okay, what I did wrong was. And I told him, and he got me in touch. He's got, like, a bunch of employees that kind of run the show, so he was very kind. He did say, well, I got married. I was like, oh, congratulations. Now about my suit.
Well,
so he's tracking them down, and I'll get them when I get home, which is just fine. And I'm very, very appreciative because I was so mad at myself.
Now we're watching the game tonight. Everybody will know that Brooke is wearing a brand new outfit that she definitely did not overpay for by being in Manhattan.
Nah.
Not
absolutely
one.
Absolutely not.
I bet she's
no, I've honestly, head to toe is new. Even the shoes are new.
Oh, look at that.
It went from an oh no to a, oh no.
Exactly.
Hey, this is year six of Brooke Hearts Your Heart. And you started this in February of 2020. And now you guys this year have shattered the goal. The goal this year was $10,000. You guys have raised, I'm looking at the website right now, $21,317.87. For Brooke Hearts Your Heart. This year alone, that puts you over, you guys are nearing $150,000 for the American Heart Association. Blazer fans have showed up and showed out for Brooke Hearts Your Heart, but we still have one more day in February left. We need to get this push a little bit more. What are people donating for, and what can they get? Because it's not just a money donation that you can get either.
Well, thank you so much for asking. So you can go to trailblazers.com/heart, and there, if you'd like to donate, that's you can do that right there. It doesn't take very long. It's like a couple minutes. If you're so inclined, I would be so grateful. And if you'd like to, there's not a ton left, but there are some hats and pins. You can bundle those up, or you can just get a hat or a pin. And those proceeds also can go to American Heart Association. Shout out Roof City Clothing for helping me out with that every year. And our creative team, I love the pin this year. It's, you know, we've done bigger things in the past, like the scarf and the knit hat and all that. But the pin is really cool because I've seen a lot of people walking around Moda and they come up, say hi, and they have the pin on the scarf or the pin on the hat. So that's been a fun thing this year. But yeah, go to trailblazers.com/heart. And again, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has donated. It's been humbling. I'm so grateful. Every year I'm like, are we going to be able to do it again? I have like a little nervous attack, like, just because everyone's always so generous in the past, I'm like, are they going to donate it again? Are we going to get there? And like you said, Rip City shows up and shows out. And I just want to say thank you to so many people who have donated and got the hat and the pin, or either or, and just been a part of this. Because to answer your question, Jesse, like I said, the proceeds go to American Heart Association. What they do there is obviously a ton of research so we can try to, you know, nip this stuff in the bud, because everyone knows someone in their family and friend group or themselves that have dealt with a heart issue. It strikes everyone in some way or form. So to be able to research this and try to help people just be aware of their health, their heart health, that's huge too. I've had so many people come up to me and say, you know, I went and got checked and I made some lifestyle changes from it. And, you know, to the extreme of a friend of mine, I've talked about this before, whose sister, she went and watched that video of Lamar and I think from the first year, talking about how my husband was like very exhausted after cardio, especially running. And that was because his poor heart was working overtime, like 90% harder than an average human, to get the blood flow to his heart. And so she sent that video to her sister, who was very fit, and just she said it resonated with her because her sister would get extremely tired after running. Sister went and got checked out. The next week was an emergency heart surgery and just saved her life. So stories like that just bring me back to this every year. Like, we got to go strong. We got to do it again. If it just reaches one person like it did in that story, or life changes, it's worth it. So it's been incredible.
I have ordered the hat and pin.
Oh,
just got the bundle. We are supporting the cause right now, Brooke. We got it.
I really appreciate that. You guys are the best. Thanks for having me on too to talk about it.
No, Brooke, we always want to have you on no matter what, but especially this time of year, because what you do is important. And you mentioned one person, but you guys have showcased people on the road that have also, you know, had these experiences and the changes that it can make. And it's the awareness. And we hear this with all kinds of things, and it's the awareness, but it really is, it's the awareness part of this. And we love that you're willing to come on and talk about, you know, why you did this. And, you know, it's not just that it's something that's, you think needs to happen. It's because you were affected by it. And, you know, that's, I think the most important thing, in the sense of like you have a real connection to this and you genuinely care about people. So we want to make sure that those opportunities are there for you. Like Brooke mentioned, if you want to, you can go to trailblazers.com/heart. Dusty and I both, you know, we want to make sure we get this out there. We'll put it up on socials. If you're not around right now, it'll be there when we get done. But sorry, my voice completely went there. I want to pivot for just a second, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you because you're obviously out on the road. Shaden Sharpe did something disgusting the other night, and you got a chance to talk to him, and you asked him to kind of walk him through it. How insane is it to have him walk you through an athletic play that ridiculous and make it seem like it was nothing?
Because for him, like, it kind of is nothing. You know what I mean? It's wild. You're right. But to have him walk me through, it was funny because he was very matter-of-fact. You know, Shaden, you know, not too high, not too low. And he's just explaining it matter-of-factly as if it was just, and then I didn't think I could get there. I made a decision, and, you know, while I was in the air. And then my favorite part was at the end, and he kind of stopped for a second, and then goes, and it went in.
And it went in.
You know, he really described it to a T.
You know, it is. How do you handle these? Because oftentimes, like, you know, when I do the sideline reporting for the Ducks, like, you have a player who says something so nonchalantly, and in my mind, I'm going, normal people can't do that, right? So when Shaden Sharpe is sitting there going, I thought I jumped too early, and then I'm in the air thinking, no, I think I got this, and then I just reached out and did it. I was just sitting there going, I oftentimes linger in the air long enough to have multiple thoughts run through my head.
Yeah, it's wild to me, the pure athleticism from him. And, you know, I was so glad that he was, you know, so obviously honest. But when I asked him, you know, I said, you know, the internet, social media has it as your best. A lot of people believe it's your best one in game. And I love that he was just like, yeah, you know, sometimes people can be like, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. But he was like, yeah, I think it was my best one. And who can answer that question better than the person himself? So I think we can all together say without a doubt that that was his best in-game dunk. I will add, though, he was going through his legs in warm-up, so that should have been a sign that it was going to be a big night for him.
Where is your favorite spot to be in the action? Because the other night you were center court, sitting behind the scorer's table. You got a lot of camera time. You got a lot of camera time in that game. And that was a topic of discussion in our house, is we were watching that game, and Lindsay said, does Brooke like being right there? Where is your favorite spot to take in the game as a sideline?
That's kind of twofold. That's so funny. Like, so many people have said that to me. And then the number one complaint I have about it is that I can't eat my popcorn in the fourth quarter like I normally do. I always go to maybe your dining room and get popcorn at halftime. I was like, I can't eat popcorn. I'm going to be caught red-handed. So, but to the view of that, I mean, you can't, there's no better seat in the house. So if you're on my side looking, watching the game, I would always choose that seat. But on the flip side, you got to make sure, you know, you just got to be aware that you're going to be on camera a lot. And it's funny because I sit right next to Rahsaan and Maggie, who are our PR staff for the team. And no one hates being on camera more than Maggie. I was like, Maggie, just so you know, you're going to be a star of the show tonight. At one point, I don't know if anybody noticed, but she was right. It was me and her right on. And so I picked up she was trying to lean out of the shot, but it was, she couldn't. So I put my notepad in front of her face. Like, is this helpful? So that one is great for viewing the game. I'll tell you, it couldn't be more opposite in Washington, and their PR staff laughs about it. They're always very apologetic, but because they, I guess, fail, I don't know what it is, but they have us, and it's been like this since I started. You're walking towards the tunnel, and instead of walking through the tunnel, there are a set of stairs that go up to a perch, and it's like by itself, it's like isolated. It's not like attached to any of the seats. It's just a perch up there, and everyone's hit their head on it numerous times, including myself, shocked that no one has fallen down those stairs, especially in heels. So it was funny. We're like, this is crazy. And then I looked over, and the only people that were placed there were Fernando, who runs our social, Casey Holdall, me, and Maggie. And I'm like, isn't it interesting? There's no other, their employees up here on this dangerous perch. But that one's probably one of the crazier ones. You don't kind of have a weird angle, but they're pretty, arenas are really great. They know you got to be close to the team. Obviously, I'm going to go down and do a hit on the floor. So they do their best to get you to as close as they can to, you know, your own bench. So there's really not a bad seat in the house. But yes, I got a lot of camera time that night. I got a lot of texts about it. I was like, I'm sorry. That's where Chauncey stands most of the time. So it was just, you know, came with the territory.
Well, speaking of tales from the road, you are, and forgive me for this, notoriously somebody who gets cold.
Yes,
is there an arena in the NBA that is even remotely comfortable for you from a temperature standpoint?
You know what? Brooklyn tonight is not bad. I actually have noticed the temperature in that by far, and I've talked about it before. New Orleans is just the coldest, and that's what I said. It's ironic because that's where they give you a Smoothie King Arena. So I always give it mine to Casey. I'm like, I can't. I would love to. I can't. I'm already freezing. So I'd say tonight, Brooklyn overall, isn't that funny that I know the temperature of, like, that's a perfect question for me because I'm very well aware of the temperature in every arena. So Brooklyn is too, like, kind of has an intimate vibe to it, you know, like the, what do they call it, like theater lighting where everything looks dark around and then the spotlight is right on the court. I mean, I think they're still doing that. That's how it's always been since I've been going there and working there. So it kind of has an intimate feel too. I really like it. It's one of my favorite arenas, kind of out of left field, I guess, but I really like it. And it's warmer. So to answer your question, Danny, it's not too bad tonight. I'm going to be okay.
We have a text on the Vancouver Ford text line about you getting scared by mascots. Do you have a truce? Is the truce intact still with all the mascots in the league?
Well, I talked about this earlier this year because, or was it last year? I've got it all done together. Pierre the Pelican, we had an on-camera truce in which he wrote out a whole thing on a big piece of cardboard and said, I promise to not scare Brooke anymore. Or this is Rumble the Bison, excuse me. They all run together. Rumble the Bison, who he asked for a truce. And then he gave me this cute little miniature Rumble the Bison stuffed animal. It seemed very sweet. I signed on my side. He'd signed his. So I thought there was a truce intact. It was, you know, there were witnesses. And then the next game scares the crap out of me. I was like, what happened to our truce? And I don't, you guys didn't see this, but when we were in Utah, my walk-off interview, as soon as I like stepped back, you know, let the player walk around, the Jazz Bear got me. It was off camera, so nobody saw, but I'm like, geez, now we're doing post-game scares. I can't get away from this, but it's been the whole thing. Everybody knows about it, and I will take one for the team every time. And people are like, are you really getting scared? I'm like, no, I'm. Trust me, I don't know how to act. I can't. It is truly... coming from my soul.
I can vouch for this.
Yes.
Brooke
yes,
scares very easily. Those are natural reactions.
I walked up behind her and been like, hey, Brooke, and she's jumped at me. I'm like, it's just me.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says about me. I don't think I want to know.
Somebody's unpacking this right now. There's a psychologist listening going, I got this.
He's taking a break from me to psychoanalyze you.
I can nail this right now. But, all right, road trip is continuing. And then after tonight, it really ramps up, and you start seeing some really good opponents throughout the rest of the way. What have you seen that has impressed you the most about this roster from the growth standpoint? Because a season like this, it can be hard, especially when there's a majority of the fan base that wants this team not to win games.
Right.
And they are. They're continuing to play hard, and they're winning games.
Which I just love. I'm here for it. I love, you know, the thought of the play, and I think it gives me something really to play for. And the team is, I mean, the energy that they bring, and obviously we talk so much, and rightfully so, about Tumani and, you know, Denny when he's going downhill. It's just, they're a fun team when everything's clicking, and you just never know, like, you could see a win that you didn't see coming. They've been keeping them close. Obviously, they've won a couple in a row. They're just a fun team to watch, and there's so many different personalities and different, you know, different guys in the way they play that, you know, you root for all of them individually, but then, of course, you root for them as a team. You know, I can understand the part of the fan base that I definitely can understand wanting to get a higher pick in the draft. That always makes sense to me. But at this point, I just really like what they're building. And so why not continue just to see where that goes and continue to fight for something, and that would be that playing spot. And these guys are competitors. That's what they want, the coaching staff as well. So I'm here for it. I love watching them night in and night out. I think they work really hard. They put a lot of time and effort into it, and we've been seeing that over these last 20 games or so. So, yeah, I'm here for trying to get to that play, and I think it would be so much fun. What a fun story, you know, for the season.
All right, we know that you are busy. We appreciate you taking time for us. You had to go get a new outfit today. Now you got to start your pregame preparations that get going
very soon. Got something to look
forward to. Yeah.
What's Brooke wearing?
Yeah, what's Brooke wearing?
We'll revisit on tonight's show too.
Look, Brooke in Brooklyn has got a ring to it.
That sounds like a reality show.
It sounds like
Brooklyn in Brooklyn.
What's Brooke wearing in Brooklyn? And we're gonna find out tonight. Brooke, thank you so much for the time, and thank you for doing Brooke Heart Your Heart, because it's not just a great fundraiser for the American Heart Association, but it makes an impact for the people in our community as well. So go to trailblazers.com/heart where you can donate straight up. Any amount helps, or you can go buy a hat and pin in the bundle and support the American Heart Association and Brooke Olsendam as well. Thank you so much, Brooke.
Guys, thank you so much. You're always such great supports of this during this month and of the foundation, so I appreciate always you guys having me on it so I can talk about it. And yeah, I love it. The final push, last day of February, so thank you again to everyone who's donated and the plans too. It means a lot to me.
Have a great call tonight, Brooke.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Brooke.
All right, there she is, Brooke Olsendam, Portland Trailblazer sideline reporter. Again, Brooke Heart Your Heart. Go to blazers.com/heart, and you can donate or you can buy a hat and pin as well. So awesome. And it's great to see the support that Rip City shows her every single year, going over $20,000 this season alone. All right, he's been shut down. It's official. Next on The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
I'm big. I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
Wu-Tang is for the children.
Right now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to Wu-Tang Clan with Run the Jewels July 1st, 2025 at Moda Center. Text KIDS 253-864-6326. That's kids 253-864-6326 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Wu-Tang Clan with Run the Jewels July 1 at Moda Center. Head to 1080thefan.com for complete contest details. KIDS kids to 503-864-6326. All right, it has been done. The 76ers have officially shut down Joel Embiid. Their statement says the 76ers and Joel Embiid have been consulting with top specialists regarding ongoing issues with his left knee. After further evaluation, it has been determined that he is medically unable to play, will miss the remainder of the season to focus on treatment and rehabilitation. Oh, boy. They're working with medical experts to determine the next plan.
It's not even just medical experts. They might as well call out, you know, we've tried going to Stonehenge, voodoo, witch doctors, everything. One of the things that they were talking about doing that was on the table is osteotherapy, if I remember right.
Yeah.
It's where they break your hip and reset your hip in a certain position to relieve pressure on the outside of your knee. I'm like, ah, yes, breaking the hip of your 7'2", 350-pound big man certainly seems like a course of action you could take.
You could take it.
You're gonna purposefully break that man's hip?
Are you
out of your freaking mind?
Could. Theoretically, you could.
But we all knew, like, if you didn't know this was coming, I've got many bridges to sell you. You can look at when the press release came out. It was at 1 o'clock on the dot from the Philadelphia 76ers.
4 o'clock Eastern.
On a Friday afternoon.
Friday news dump, folks.
I mean, this has been forecasted for weeks.
Are we looking at Bill Walton 2.0? A man who,
yeah, MVP season.
At his height,
yeah,
was the most dominant big in the league. MVP has, but had to... Bill Walton had to reshape the way that he played.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit different in that Walton was still very injury prone,
mm-hmm,
but his injuries started coming year 5 in, mm-hmm, the NBA.
Joel came in with him.
Joel missed the first 2 seasons of his career.
With a back and a foot.
But if you look at it, Joel Embiid has been in the NBA for 9 seasons. Mm-hmm. He has played 452 games. Bill Walton, in 10 seasons in the NBA, played 468 games.
Yes. Very, 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 very similar.
You think of that?
The thing about Bill, though, is Bill was nowhere near the size of Joel Embiid.
No. No.
You know, if you remember young Joel Embiid, he was much smaller. The sheer mass. Go look at Joel Embiid at Kansas. It looks like a different human. He has probably put 150 pounds on. And I'm not even kidding. He's probably put 150 pounds on since he came into the league.
That's crazy.
And don't be wrong, he's got a little bit of weight on him in the sense of, like, maybe a little excess bounce, but he is built like a truck. Like, when I talk about Donovan being one of the pure, like, mountains in the NBA, Embiid's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Just sheer mass. Like, when you stand next, every time Joel Embiid has come to Portland, and I've just kind of stood next to him or, like, walked past him, I just kind of shake my head. It's like, oh,
yeah,
my God, this man is enormous.
So in taking into Embiid's career, since he missed the first 2 years of his career, remember, he was rookie of the year. He took third in the rookie of the year voting in year 3,
mm-hmm,
of him being in the league, because essentially his rookie year did not start until he actually played a game in the NBA. So he's actually been in the league for 11 seasons. This is his 11th year in the NBA, but he only tolls for 9. So in 11 years, he's played 452 games. And for Walton, he was in the league for 10 years and played 468. So they are actually eerily similar with the way that their careers have gone.
And they're both MVPs.
They're both MVPs. Yeah. But will we see a career for Joel Embiid where does he go the route of a Bill Walton where he's not reliable as the guy who you build your franchise around and you say we can rely on him? Because that's what Philly has done. Everything that they've built around has been building around Joel Embiid. And the fact that if he's healthy, we are a championship contender. The back half of Bill Walton's career, when he won Sixth Man of the Year and he was not nearly as productive or could move the way that he once did. It was, he was a guy that would be a role player on a team. Do we ever see that? Because Embiid, the thing about the biggest difference is Bill Walton was just a guy that you didn't have to pay. Joel Embiid's going to be getting his money regardless.
No, yeah, it's guaranteed. He's going to be making $60+ million a year for the next 3 years.
That's an anchor.
4 years? Yeah. I mean, there will be a team that talks themselves into it if they do opt out of that. There will be one. One team will, because I've mentioned this before. Joel Embiid, I've heard from multiple general managers over the years, came into the NBA with three legitimate red flags medically.
Mm-hmm.
One is usually enough to get you, if not knocked out of the draft, absolutely out of the first round. Two, you're out of the first round.
His talent was overwhelming.
That's the thing. It's like his talent was so overwhelming. It was insane. And I know I've mentioned this before too. If you told basically any general manager that if you took this guy third overall and he would miss all the games he would miss, they'd still do it because the high-end talent is just that dominant.
Dang.
Because his production last year in his MVP season, it was the most points per minute in NBA history.
Yep. Yep. He is, in his career, never played 70 games.
Mm-hmm. What is it? What is his max? 66?
68.
68, okay.
He's played 68 once, 66, and that was 2021 and 2022, 23. So that 21 season was the abbreviated season.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, and that was, the 66 game season was the year he won the MVP. Outside of those two, he would not have a single year in his career that he qualifies for any of the awards.
And they basically made that rule because of guys like him.
Yeah. Which, yeah, 65. And I think they looked at Embiid and said he played in 63, played in 64. Then he went 51. And then 51 was also a shortened season. But he just hasn't. The last couple of years, 39 games last year, 19 this year. That is not a good trend to see from the big man, because his body is failing him right now.
Yeah, and as far as like the comparison to Bill Walton, where even beyond the money, the thing that doesn't translate well for me is somebody brings it up on the text line. It's probably why he's suffering injuries, just because he is so big.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it is. And the difference is like Bill Walton was skinny, like, so he could still move. Joel is not anywhere near, like, he would have to probably lose 80 pounds for him to be remotely in that range.
Jeez.
Like, you can go look at all the NBA listings of weight. I'm telling you, they're lying through their teeth.
He's listed at 280.
He's not. He's 350 pounds. He's just not. It was like Shaq being listed at 315. He was 425 pounds. Like, when you see these, like, when you see Donovan Klingon, who's 290 pounds, and Joel Embiid looks like he's two of him from front to back. Yeah. It's not just how wide Joel is, because he's wide enormously. It's front to back. He's a refrigerator. It's just
crazy.
And you look at that guy and you go, if his body is that broken. And the reason those guys play that big is because they just lean on you and they wear you down. That's how they're so successful. Nurk did it. Shaq did it. Those guys that are just that big, that's how they play, and there's just no way you can deal with them. But if he's going to be productive throughout the rest of his career, he's probably got to lose 80 pounds, which is insane to think about.
But that was the knock on him at the beginning of his career, is that they said, dude, you will not, before he ever played a game in the NBA, they said, you have got to lose weight or you will get hurt.
Yeah.
And that has reigned true throughout the entirety of his career.
No, he's just like,
that's too bad, man.
It is, because you're probably like, he's going to have another knee surgery. Now, what it is?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different paths they can take. I can tell you right now, the Sixers aren't going to be able to massage this one with talking about flaps of meniscuses.
No, this is way worse.
Way beyond that.
Look, it might be because of how they handled his injury last year is why he's in the position that he is this year.
The meniscectomy of trying to like play through it because they wanted to get him the MVP.
Yep.
And I mean, I get it. All right, coming up next, time for our worst day on the web. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a theft of a golden toilet.
A what?
A golden toilet. We'll get into that and more. But first, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Center Update.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Lord knows, if there's a high-end toilet out there, I'll find it. We did our, was it our worst day on the web where we dove into the Japanese toilets that were out of control, like $10,000?
And that's not out of control. Those are Ferraris for your bum.
Yeah. Well, here is gold for your bum. A solid gold toilet disappeared from the Blenheim Palace in 2019, and an arrest has been made.
Where is that?
It's in the UK.
Okay.
In Oxfordshire. So in the early hours of the 14th of September 2019, 2 days after it went on display, Michael Jones denies one count of burglary, and Fred Doe, apparently no relation to John, from Windsor, and a 41-year-old Bora Gukuk from West London both deny conspiring to transfer criminal property. If you're wondering, after they arrested this guy, how they kind of found out it's probably him, they did a quick Google search of his search history and found that he was doing searches around the robbery before it was public.
Oh, so he was like, before the police like went public and said the toilet has been stolen, he was like, has the toilet been stolen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll get you. That's a dumb criminal right there. That's a grade A idiot criminal.
The court heard that hundreds of fragments of gold,
Mike Jones,
were found in and on his clothing at his home in Oxford days after the robbery. So this guy would, it sounds like he...
So they hunted him down real quickly?
Oh, yeah. Jurors are told some of the fragments were analyzed and were found to be indistinguishable from the gold from the America Golden Toilet that had been made. The court also heard that DNA, likely gold, to have been his, was found on a sledgehammer left in the toilet cubicle at the stately home.
Well, yeah, you can't take your sledgehammer and a solid gold toilet. That thing's got to be heavy.
So it was an 18 carat, so not even 24. Not yeah. even pure.
What are they even doing?
I would imagine, though, if it's 24, then it's probably hard to maintain shape because it's soft.
I have no idea. I think that when you have something of that mass, though, it would still be structurally sound
enough
to hold a person.
It did weigh 98 kilos.
I'm American.
216 pounds.
There we go. I'm American. I have no idea what you just said.
It was worth $6 million.
Damn.
Gold prices at the time would have seen the gold alone worth it, 2.8 million pounds.
So what did he do with the toilet? Like, what do you do with the golden toilet that you steal? You just go and melt it down?
I would imagine they probably just started hammering away at it.
You poop on it.
Because, I mean, if there's gold, you'd have to do it once, right?
You'd have to pee or poop into it at least once.
At least. Like, minimum, you give that one go around.
This is like a real Austin Powers gold member thing. Yeah. I love gold.
You definitely go at least one time, and then it's, we got to get rid of this. Because, like, people are going to have questions when they walk into your, one-bedroom apartment, and you have a gold dumper sitting there.
Could you just say you're a big fan of Trump?
And,
like,
maybe,
then
yeah,
maybe people,
toilets.
Yeah, like, they won't even notice.
Yeah, I don't think that flies. Like, you just say I spray painted it.
No, you're just like, I'm a big fan of Trump. This is what he has. I also have the Trump toilet.
So you've actually seen the Blenheim Palace before.
I have?
You have. I'll show you a picture so you have an idea of what it is. It has been in movies like James Bond, Harry Potter. It's the very stately looking, almost castle like building.
Yep. I know what you're talking about.
That has like the big path that wraps around it with all the huge, huge courtyard. The Great Court is kind of where they do a lot of stuff. The most recent one, I think, here is Transformers, The Last Night, where they shoot it in England.
Haven't seen
with,
it.
With Anthony...
Kiedis from Dread Hot Chili Peppers. No.
Hopkins.
No. He's close to Anthony Kiedis.
Definitely. They both give it away now.
Yep.
But that big courtyard that they have in that movie when they first get to England, that's the same building.
Never seen that movie. Never have I ever.
Definitely not the best one.
You'd think that security would be better at that place to not allow a guy
to sledgehammer away at it.
Break in, sledgehammer away. Obviously not really prepared to take that thing out, seeing as he had to leave the sledgehammer there. And then...
I mean, how did you get it in? One.
Go ahead.
How did you get it in?
And I'll get it in.
There you go. But also, why would you leave it behind?
The sledgehammer?
Yeah.
Well, the sledgehammer, he did it at night, right? He didn't just do this in the middle of the day.
I mean, it doesn't say.
But I thought that you did say it was in the dead of night. But that you have to go in after hours because there's going to be people there that are working on the grounds. They do tours.
Yeah, but why would you leave? It's like, it's not the same thing, but like if you shot somebody and just threw the gun on the ground, like what, like the tool that you used.
Yeah.
Like that's a thing that you can draw a direct line to.
220 pound dumper you're trying to get out of there.
So what's 5 more pounds?
Probably a lot for that guy, you know?
It sounds like he had accomplices. Also, they were trying to buy stolen material. Like, how do you fence a golden toilet? I guess you can melt anything down.
Yeah, you melt that bad boy down, and you just you put it in bricks.
If it's worth 2.8 million pounds in gold, what do you get if you're selling it to a fence? A million pounds?
Let's just go dollars. Yeah, probably you get about a million bucks.
So two million bucks.
Yeah, you're going like.
I think a pound is 2 to 1 right now, right?
I don't know. Don't try to.
No, it's actually way lower. It's 1.26.
Don't try to British this thing up for
me here. So you get $1.25 million.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about fair.
Yeah.
I think that's where you're going, and you're not expecting to get anywhere near.
You're not getting market because you're selling to a fence. It's illegal, but. Are you melting it down into
a crap load of money?
Hey. Like, are you melting it down and then like into gold bars or like what are you doing?
Yeah, you gotta put that into gold bars just for the purposes of, you know, criminal endeavors and whatnot. You know, gold bars, they exist, easier to transport when you can stack them all up. I don't know. Maybe you put them in cute little molds. Maybe you get like a Ninja Turtles cake mold and you put them in those. And they have little gold Ninja Turtles running around. I have no idea what you do. I'm not a criminal. I would not be a good criminal either. I know that this would not be for me.
I'd be a good one.
Well, that's been well established.
Would. Not that I could. Would.
M.
Wow. A couple of questions here on the Vancouver 4 text line.
Yep.
Why did the original have a $6 million toilet, which, because you can, was it to look at or actually use? It was hooked up. Like, you can actually see it hooked up in the corner in a bathroom.
It was like an art installation by an artist who did it. Because nobody lives in these palaces like on the day to day. Like people, he took a tour. I read that he took a tour of this place twice. The 2 days before it was stolen, he went and did like a tour of the joint, and then he went in there with a sledgehammer and took it. I think that's bad casing that he did there. You could have done this in a much cleaner way.
If you can afford a gold toilet, do you think you have too much money?
That's a great question, Will. And no, very wealthy people also feel like everyday people I could use more money.
Well, I understand that, but like, I don't know. Don't you think that there's something that you could do? Like maybe put that money in like bonds and stocks?
They do that too, though.
Yeah. That's what this is called, the annuities.
Maybe donate to charity, perhaps.
Oh,
they do that in smaller.
What
terms.
Are you thinking, Will?
Would you? I'm thinking about the common man.
Yeah.
Would you pay money to use the golden toilet?
I would.
$2 to go number two.
I would.
No.
I would. I would pay. I would pay if in a palace like that.
$2 to go number two.
Yeah.
I definitely let my legs fall asleep. I get my money's worth.
Yeah. Absolutely. I would do that. Now, did they sell the toilet off?
They weren't, know that? He wasn't able to.
Oh, so
he was attempting to fence it.
Wait, so this happened in 2019, and they're just now getting the court case underway?
Yeah, they work at a different pace in England.
Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. Now I see why that was really important that we have speedy trials in the United States. You see, it was worth it to throw that tea off that boat in Boston Harbor.
Well, the tea was also not good. All right, coming up next, the Phoenix Suns are not good. Like, in a way that I can't fathom. Chris Haynes has his own breaking news of a meeting that came out between Coach Budenholzer and Devin Booker. The Devin Booker also kind of addressed in a post-game press conference, and boy, are things going just swell down in Phoenix. We'll get to that more. Coming from Danny Dusty, Tony the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
The Fan.
Chris Haynes, on his Haynes brief, released information as it pertains to directly sourced knowledge about a meeting that was held between Devin Booker and Coach Budenholzer, where Coach Bud asked Devin Booker to take a step back. And it's actually pretty wild when you hear what Chris Haynes and then Devin Booker had to say.
I was told that weeks ago, Mike Budenholzer called his star guard Devin Booker into his office to issue a complaint. And that complaint, I'm told, was that Booker was being too vocal on the court and during timeout huddles. He implored his star guard to tone it down to allow for the coach's voice to be heard. This completely, Booker, I was told. Now, after the Suns lost Thursday to the Pelicans, which saw them lose their 10th game in the last 12, Booker spoke publicly about how the lack of communication is hurting the team.
Oh, it could be fixed with just a little bit more talking, I'd say. Things get tough. We get quiet as a team. And, you know, from my experience and what I've seen, you know, that's not the way to get through it. You know, skipping over the details and, you know, always taking the, you know, get them next game mentality. At some point, you got to draw a line, and should have been drawn a long time ago. You know, I'd rather two people say the wrong thing to each other out there than nobody talk at all and leave the gray area. You know, so it's like any job or any group project that you do, you have to do it together. Yeah, I always look at myself first, but I also talk a lot.
Whoa.
Good gravy.
That is, when you say that the Phoenix Suns are in trouble, I mean, the head coach and Mike Budenholzer, look, Budenholzer has been a roller coaster because remember, he was a failed head coach that when he was got to Milwaukee, all of a sudden everything fell into place because of the roster that he had was incredible.
Well, to be fair,
and things broke their way.
He was very successful in Atlanta with the Hawks. His problem was that he ran into LeBron James.
Yeah.
I mean, Bud is, in my opinion, Bud is a very good
coach.
Then
why does it continue to fall apart for him? And it seems the same thing over and over and over again, which is a heavy hand and not being able to handle stars.
But the flip side of that is, I don't think it was, number one, I from what I've been told, that wasn't necessarily the issue in Milwaukee. It was more they had to make a change, and the only change they could make was Bud in Milwaukee.
And wasn't that Giannis kind of leading that charge, though, and his star player?
No, that was the organization leading that because they lost in the first round when Giannis was hurt. Remember, Giannis had the tailbone when they lost to Miami and then didn't play. And so they like, well, we have to make a change because they'd won a title, blah, blah. But I look at this from the other side. The coach was blamed last year in a championship-winning head coach, again, in Frank Vogel.
Yep.
So you're telling me they've gone through two title-winning head coaches, and it's the coach's fault? That's where I go, maybe this is more of a Kevin Durant and Devin Booker problem than title-winning head coaches.
Yeah.
Because if it's two title-winning head coaches in a row, maybe you got to start looking inward. And as much as Book is fighting against this publicly, and maybe there is a breakaway there, and I've heard that those – there's a pretty strong likelihood that Bud doesn't come back after this year. But I would expect the Suns to make some pretty seismic changes. Again, we talked about this yesterday or the day before, in that KD is almost certainly getting traded this offseason. But do the Suns hit reset now? Because the Houston Rockets, they are sitting there and they have been circling Devin Booker for 2 years. They are waiting for that. It's one of the worst kept secrets in the NBA. That is what they are. That is what when they signed Jalen Green to that contract, it was either he was going to pop or he would be used as salary filler in a trade for a star. And if you throw Devin Booker on a team with Amen Thompson and Tari Eason and Alperen Şengün and Dylan Brooks, all of a sudden that team looks pretty damn scary because right now their problem isn't defense, it is being able to score in the half court. Because without Fred VanVleet, they are lost on most nights. Having a 28-a-game score in Devin Booker would be huge. But the Phoenix Suns, for all of the pomp and circumstance of Matt Ishbia coming in and going all in, you have seen this play out so many times, particularly in the NBA, of a new owner coming in thinking, I know how to do this better than anyone else. Let me show you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have no assets, and their only way out is to hit a nuclear reset button.
Yeah. And that nuclear reset button will be Budenholzer getting canned, KD being dealt.
And then possibly assessing whether or not you trade Devin Booker. And the reason you would trade him to the Rockets is the Rockets hold the Suns' picks.
Yep.
The Suns, right now, if they fall into the lottery and they just crater down, the Rockets have their pick. You're talking about a world where their pick could be Cooper Flagg if they won the lottery, and Cooper Flagg could end up in Houston. That's terrifying.
That would be really good for Houston, man. They would be unbelievable if that happened. If that happened.
Again, it's a big if, but like you're opening up scenarios and possibilities that nobody would have thought.
They have no business being a game worse than better than the Portland Trailblazers.
No.
None whatsoever. And the infighting is real. And Devin Booker and Mike Budenholzer, obviously that relationship is fractured right now. And it's a downhill spiral. And I'm here for it because when Ishbia came into the league, he was the big swing, and you know what? Mm-hmm. That was going to turn things around right away. He built out a ton of money for a roster that is not working right now. Nope. And look, that I wish that somebody would do that here in Portland, but it's also the cautionary tale that that isn't always the right way and it doesn't always work.
No. Coming up next, we're going to keep it in the NBA. Ant Edwards, we already talked about being suspended for accumulating technicals, but there's also news and notes coming around him and possibly the Dallas Mavericks calling the Minnesota Timberwolves to swap Luka and Ant before ultimately dealing with the Lakers. We'll get to that and more in hour number three here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.